Chapter 80, A Promise to be Faithful. Standing tall, the Maharal raised his hand high, and the weeping slowly calmed down. Come, my dear brothers and sisters, let us stop crying and strengthen each other instead. At this difficult time, we must gather all of our inner power and courage. We must be strong to face the coming days, weeks, and months. The courtyard of the Beis Medrash fell silent once again. The Maharal slowly looked over the entire crowd, from one end to the other. Let us now make a promise together, in front of the Holy Sifrei Torah, that none of us present here today will obey this decree. None of us will willingly enter the church. If they drag us there by force, we will block our ears and not listen to the nonsense and lies of the wicked priests. Are you prepared to make such a promise? The crowd eagerly responded with a heartfelt roar. Yes, they shouted together, we promise. We promise in the name of our Holy Torah. We promise on our lives and the lives of our children that we will never listen to the words of the priests. The serious face of the Maharal now shone with satisfaction at their response. As they had done many times before in history, the Jewish people were prepared to keep the Torah with true Mesiras Nefesh. My precious brothers and sisters, my dear Yidden, you have agreed to make a public Kiddush Hashem, no matter the price. So, let us now repeat after the Chazan, word by word. The Chazan stepped forward, trembling and clutching a Sefer Torah close to his heart. He opened his mouth, and the words seemed to boom from his entire being. The Jews of Prague, young and old, roared their response after him. Shema! Yisroel! Adonai! Eloheinu! Adonai! Echad! Baruch! Shem! Kivoid! Malchusai! Li'aylam, Vod, Adonai, Hu, Elohim. The mighty sound shook the earth as it echoed along the streets of Prague. As soon as the last word had been said, the sound of shofar blasts filled the air. After that, the Kohanim stepped up to the platform, and with deep feeling, bless the community with Birchas Kohanim. Yivarechecha Hashem v'yishmirecha. The people responded with a thunderous amen, the likes of which Prague had never heard. The Maharal had placed himself in great danger. He had publicly disobeyed the king's decree and had gone against the plan of the church. Yet, he did not fear them at all. That very day, the Maharal presented King Ferdinand with a petition signed by all the Rabbanim and leaders of the Jewish communities, begging him to remove his decree. Our glorious, honorable, and merciful King, the petition stated, we turn to your Royal Highness from the depths of our souls to express the pain of our bleeding hearts. Your Majesty is aware that the Jews of your Majesty's kingdom are entirely loyal, that we pray for the welfare and hope for the success of your Royal Highness. We have lived peacefully for many long years under your Majesty's kind and faithful protection. Now, our enemies and haters have risen against us to destroy us in both body and spirit. We wish to inform your Glorious Majesty that today, every one of us, the men, women, and children of the Jewish communities of your Majesty's kingdom, has sworn a solemn vow that cannot be undone, to surrender our lives in order to remain loyal to the faith of our holy ancestors. We cannot obey the new decree. we will not attend services at the local churches. If we are taken by force, we will resist with all of our power. We prefer to give our lives rather than sell our souls. We hereby inform our Honorable Majesty that a terrible tragedy is set to occur throughout Your Majesty's kingdom, a massive tragedy of the loss of innocent lives that Your Majesty is certainly eager to avoid. The next step for the Maharal was to travel to meet Prince Ferdinand, who had always remained extremely grateful to the Maharal for solving his mathematical riddle. The Maharal, respectfully, demanded that the prince do everything in his power to disrupt the plans of the church. Recently, he explained to the prince, the priests have been patrolling the Jewish streets of Prague, trying to force their religion on the Jewish people they meet. Fights have broken out. Things are getting out of hand. You must find a way to restore the peace of the kingdom before the situation grows completely out of control. Indeed, many of the non-Jews of Prague were sympathetic to their Jewish neighbors. They were puzzled and unhappy with the priest's attempts to force the Jews to come to their church or to accept their religion. They could not understand why the priests had begun to act violently against the Jews of their city. In many cases, if a priest would struggle with a Jew, a fight would break out and the Jew would be dragged into court. But the non-Jewish neighbors would show up in court as well and tell the judges that their Jewish neighbors were good and honest people who did not deserve such treatment. The Jews remained faithful to their vow. Even when they were dragged to church by force, they would shut their eyes and block their ears. They would do everything they could possibly do to avoid listening to the speeches. The heads of the church had been certain that by threatening the Jews with expulsion from the kingdom, and at the same time forcing them to attend these church services, many Jews would end up converting. They now realized that their plan had failed miserably. From the thousands of Jews in the kingdom, they managed to convert just 2 individuals, whom everyone knew as mentally disturbed and who did not know what they were saying or doing. The priests had spent months roaming the streets, but the Jews completely ignored their sweet words and paid no attention to their threats. They slowly began to give up hope of converting the Jews and stopped pressuring them to come to church. They realized they would never win the Jews by force. Even the non-Jewish citizens had become upset with the priests and were trying to protect the Jews. However, the other threat remained. The Jews would be expelled from the kingdom at the end of the 2 years. The Maharal now turned all his effort to canceling this threat. He knew that King Ferdinand was very unhappy with the decree and would be glad to cancel it if he could. He also knew that the kingdom's treasury had remained empty since the time of the decree. The Jews paid most of the kingdom's taxes, but ever since the decree, many of the Jewish merchants had been too worried to succeed in business. And no Jew was willing to invest money in a country from which they would soon be expelled. The lack of Jewish business meant no tax revenues for the king, just when he needed money so desperately. On the other hand, the king was facing immense pressure from the church. He had already promised to drive out the Jews, and there was no way he could go back on his promise. At that time, the Jew-hating pope who had caused all the trouble had died. A new pope, the fourth, had taken his position as the head of the Christian church. He had a calmer personality and was also much friendlier to the Jews. During a meeting between the king and his sons, they came up with an idea. They would secretly advise the Jews to send a delegation to Rome to meet with the Pope. Perhaps these Jews would be successful in convincing the Pope to cancel the decree, since only the Pope had the power to permit the king to annul his decree. The Jewish community of Prague chose the man they thought best suited to act as their messenger. His name was Reb Mordechai Tzemach, and he traveled to Rome to meet the Pope. Thankfully, his mission was successful. The Pope informed King Ferdinand that he no longer had to keep his promise to expel the Jews of his kingdom. King Ferdinand lost no time in canceling the decree of expulsion. The Jews of Prague and the other communities of the kingdom gratefully breathed a deep sigh of relief.